Oh, hey, Casey.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Today's Wednesday.
We have a very special Rule of Threes podcast
yes.
for you today.
Is it that you're addicted to Adderall and I have to take you to
yes,
the counselor?
And it's in my locker room, and I tried it, and which is the one where Will from Fresh Prince try? Is it that he has the pills?
I'm not sure, but I was thinking of
Saved by the Bell.
Michael J. Fox's character on Family Ties.
I mean,
taking speed to stay up all night to study for an exam.
Wow.
This is a very special episode because one of us lost one of the audio files for this week's podcast.
And I just want to say I'm so sorry that I lost the audio file for the podcast.
So, by the way,
I left the front door open.
Yeah.
And it just got out.
Yeah.
And
Who let the files out?
Who?
I typically do the post on these things, and I moved a file to an external drive. And just a pro tip for everyone out there, when you move files from one laptop to an external drive to a desktop, just copy them. Don't move them until you're sure the episode's published, because I copied them and one of them got corrupted. By the way, I actually did recover your audio file, except it was 18 minutes of the podcast, and then it was just pure static, like full to the max ear shattering static for the rest of it.
I mean, that's what I sound like, right? Is
that was the actual recovered file. So what you're going to hear now is our podcast from this week, and then at about 30 something minutes in, we're going to pick up where we left off. And actually going to say exactly the same words we said last time.
Yeah, I have my headphones over my ear, and I'm going to do my best to re-record my exact audio.
We have headphones in our ear that are dictating what to say, and then we just rephrase.
So we're going to start right here, and I'm going to start with the opening song. It's the Rule of Threes podcast.
The Rule of Threes podcast. It's the Rule of Threes podcast. With Chris and Casey.
Oh, shit. It started. It's Rule Threes podcast. Today is Monday after Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's right. It is November 26th.
26th.
That's right.
2018. You are freshly shorn.
I got a haircut. I needed one. It had been 3.5 months as my hairdresser. Every time I go in after 3.5 months, exasperatedly reminds me that I need to come in and get a haircut more often than every 3.5 months. And she's not wrong.
No, she's absolutely right.
Yeah, my hair looks so good.
When it's cut, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks great. And she's the best hairdresser I've ever had.
Who is this?
Shout outs to Christina Mack. She is just absolutely the best. Follow her on Instagram, Hair by Ms. Mack.
And where does she work?
She works at the Rudy's on Silver Lake.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, in Silver Lake on Sunset.
I did not know. I thought Rudy's was just like a barber. Like a quick barber place. I don't know anything about Rudy's.
I mean, you know, haircut costs $40, and she does an amazing job. She's the best, and I'd follow her to the ends of the earth.
I've been going to a guy near me in Koreatown that does not speak English.
Yeah,
does a good haircut though.
Hey,
$13,
killer. Yeah, you're saving the money.
No, actually, for a while I was going to a guy named he's on Yelp as Eddie Edition in Pasadena.
Ooh,
I used to live in Pasadena, and his haircut, he was Korean. And actually gave me excellent haircuts. He was somebody who like understood Asian hair, but he was $45.
Yeah, yeah. So that's. I mean, that's how much.
Well, that's why you're going every 3.5 months.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, if it was $13, you'd be going every 3 weeks.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So the first thing I want to say about NBA this week.
Wait, we're an NBA podcast?
Yes. We're transitioning to a haircut.
Yeah, the best part about having haircuts talk in a podcast is the medium.
Yes.
You know, we can talk about it and describe all of the wonderful things about a haircut.
Last week we were kind of wishing for the Western Conference to resolve itself a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to take some time.
But it certainly didn't happen this week.
It very clearly didn't happen this week in any way.
No, not at all.
Now, almost the first 12 teams all have 7 losses or something. It's something crazy.
Yeah, it's so close that the Lakers were a game out of first place at some point during the last week.
Yeah.
Which is like, that they're not. That's
no.
Not, that's not.
But they were also like the 7th seed and still a game out of first.
Yeah.
space. I mean, right now, I believe the Los Angeles Clippers are the number one
Clippers are the number one seed. So are the Grizzlies. So are the Warriors. Yeah. So are the Trailblazers. I mean, everybody's the one seed because the NBA is communism now.
Well, and let me tell you why this is going to be, it's going to get way worse before it gets better. Is, sure, you've got teams like the Clippers, Memphis, that you're like, oh, I wonder if they can stay up there. But you've also got teams that should, you would think would be doing better, that were, are going to rise back up into this mix.
Yeah.
Specifically Utah and Houston.
Yeah, and both of them have been playing better than they were the first, you know, 15 games of the season.
Right, so they're going to go right up into that mix. Yeah.
And, you know, anytime Donovan Mitchell is going to miss a bit of time, and he has just had a real shit kicker of a second season so far.
Yeah.
So they're playing better without him. You know, I mean, it's Nervous Nelly time for the teams that don't know how to continue to perform well in the West.
I mean, that's also maybe an issue of a developing team whose best players are young players. You know,
yeah.
You just don't know what. Yeah. I mean, I would say Boston is sort of in that situation.
I mean,
well,
they're in their own kind of personal hell right now.
So, Casey, I just had an enormous, well, I wouldn't call it a pleasure, experience.
Okay, you had an enormous experience.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I thought before we record the podcast, let me catch up and watch a live basketball game.
Oh, wow. So,
I watched the Houston Rockets play the Washington Wizards.
Oh, Dwight Howard.
He was not in this game.
Yeah, of course not. He's Dwight Howard.
And not only that, it was something I've never experienced before, which is the NBA TV players only.
Oh, Lord.
Broadcast.
They have, ooh, yeah, we can talk about players only.
Well, this is all I'll say about players only. Tonight it was Greg Anthony, Candace Parker, Steve Smith, and Dennis Scott remote?
Yeah.
Is he just in his house or something? They might as well be, because they're not, they're just in studio. They're not at the game.
Correct.
I personally, I think I'd prefer to listen to either the Wizards or the Rockets announcers.
Yeah.
Because one thing about players only is none of them are good at doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's all color commentary with blank spots. Like, it's just sometimes there's just no one talking at all, which normally I wouldn't really mind, except that it sort of comes off as like the four of them are just doing a podcast while a game happens to be on. So it was interesting. I mean, actually, I thought Steve Smith and Candace Parker said some interesting things.
Yeah.
But and it was a very...
There's always interesting stuff that gets brought up. But is that product better than having a play-by-play announcer?
I think that it would be... It might be better in games that are not good.
Okay.
But this game, I think, was very close.
Yeah.
And was kind of an exciting game that you would kind of want a competent play-by-play person to highlight what's happening.
Yeah.
And that was not happening. So there was that, the players only aspect, which I would say is a fun, I don't even say fun, but it's an intriguing experiment that eventually, if they distilled it down and they found like four really good people at it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think Greg Anthony was that great. Like, yeah. If you basically,
and Greg Anthony might be the most experienced, he might be the most, broadcaster, yeah, out of the four of those.
Longest. But if you found a certain four players that did a great job at it, then maybe it's worth doing it. Okay, so there's that.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of this game?
I did not watch this game.
So this game might have had an assemblage of some of the least likable players for Chris Grace to watch.
You have your Chris Paul. You got your John Wall.
Yeah. You got John Wall, who in our last episode was a punk. And, they all had great stat lines, I will say. Yeah. James Harden had 50 points.
I mean, the game, both teams scored in the 130s because they went into overtime.
James Harden had 50 points. Bradley Beal had 30-something. Wall had 30-something. Eric Gordon had like 28, 26 or something like that. The Wizards like have very good individual talent and have some of the dumbest basketball IQ plays. And now it's kind of like, maybe they just don't give a shit. It's possible.
Yeah.
But it was bad.
And it's tough to watch them make mistakes over and over again, right? Because you feel like people who are that talented should practice the mistakes out. There's different kinds of mistakes that get made in a basketball game. There are mistakes that get made because you're trying too hard. There are mistakes that get made because you forget something. And there are mistakes that get made because you don't care.
And I'll add another category. There are mistakes where you are being asked to do something that you're not great at.
Yes. Yeah, that is another category. But
some of them either seem like John Wall doesn't care or that he doesn't care enough off the court to work on things.
Got it.
He's clearly very, very talented.
Yeah.
And when he plays well, it's like, oh, why don't you do that all the time? But yeah. He had some of the dumbest, like in the last seconds of regulation, plays that I have seen in a while. One where he, like, they got a great turnover off of a James Harden either steal or maybe just a short shot or something.
Yeah.
And John Wall was, like, running out ahead, 1-on-3, but he was basically 1-on-1 against Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
And just threw up a clank layup.
Oof.
And by the way, like, this was only, like, 19 seconds left in regulation, and they were ahead by, like, 1 or 2. So, like, he didn't do the thing of, like, dribble real fast and then pull it out, wait for his team. He attempted a shot, and, like, it just... And then just looked to the refs for the foul.
I mean, you know, it's so tough for me to criticize people when they are under extreme physical duress to make good decisions, because I know myself that when I am tired, my logic goes haywire.
I think that's true, but you're also not getting paid what John Wall gets paid.
I mean, I get paid a ton of money. You get paid,
but not quite as much as John
Wall
gets
paid. That's fair. I mean, the money's coming in from this podcast, right?
Yeah, that's right. Any day the check will come in, Casey. you know, we haven't set up the Venmo for this podcast yet, that's why I haven't gotten you the money for
it. Yeah, we'll get our Patreon up and running.
And Bradley Beal, also very talented. The thing, if you look at their stat lines, they look great. Like, yeah. They had great stat lines for this game.
I mean, if you look at the final score of the game, Wizards looked great, right?
Yeah. Bradley Beal reminds me of Allen Houston.
Oh.
In his play. He this game, I was like, oh. He's kind of silky getting to the rim in a good way. And generally, I thought he played well in this game.
Yeah.
And James Harden, who scored like 54 points or something, also had some horrible plays,
yeah,
especially in the end of regulation, end of overtime.
Yeah.
But
then for every James Harden horrible play you get a James Harden great play. And does great and horrible balance out in the long run?
Maybe. It definitely does, and they don't have anybody else besides him. So you can't say that this game was his fault that they lost.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like as human beings, that I feel like if I was guarding James Harden, if you put me on an island with James Harden, that at the very least, I, Chris Grace, as a middle-aged man, could manage to not contest three-point shots and not step
foul.
Under him, yeah, as he's so that he gets four-point plays, which Bradley Beal did and then Thomas Bryant did. I was just like, what are you doing?
What do you think is going through their brain when they're like, oh, no, I can stop him this time. He's going to, like, oh, no, I'm going to get this block this time.
You were never going to get the block.
I don't know why or how people think that.
One of them, I think Jeff Green fouled him. He reached across and, like, pushed his elbow, his off elbow. And I was like, what are you doing? You cannot do that. Like, it's so obvious that you're fouling him.
Yeah.
And then the Bradley Beal one was just like, he was so far from being able to contest it. And he jumped anyway and he landed on him. And I was like, well, the only thing I can think is that he puts your brain in such a blender from 3-point line to the rim. And he did his thing where he, like, grabbed people's arms and, like, forced fouls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that you're kind of just always akimbo.
That's
the only thing I can think.
It's such a wild, wild way to have basketball be played. And it's so interesting because who likes watching some of that James Harden stuff? Like,
yeah,
there's stuff that I do like. I like when he goes to the rack. Like, he's so talented,
yeah,
at, like, crossing people up and getting to the rack in a way that is so weird. I hate that perimeter
stuff. His drives for layups they seem unguardable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then occasionally they would do something that I kind of wonder why people don't do more often, which is they would double team him early and he would give up the ball. And Chris Paul's not in the game, like,
so it would go to somebody like, I don't know, Gerald Green?
I didn't notice him in this game. Maybe he was. I think he was out for this game, actually. Ah,
got it.
It was going to, like, Clint Capella.
Okay.
Or this guy named Don House Jr., who just got called up from the G League.
Oh, yes.
He played pretty well, actually.
Great. Daniel House.
Anyway, it was just, it was, very frustrating to be like, why are you even getting near him? Just let him shoot it. Like, you're not going to bother him.
Yeah.
I will just point out one little James Harden stat.
Okay.
In the last five games, how many turnovers per game do you think he's averaging?
8.
He's averaging 7.8 turnovers a game.
Yeah.
He had 11 turnovers in this game.
Yeah. I mean, the game went into overtime. That's a whole nother five minutes to add in there.
But his last ones are like 11, 9, 6.
And on the season, what, he's averaging 6 turnovers a game?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, clearly it would be better if Chris Paul was in the game.
Yeah.
To take some of that. But
even then, you know, I mean,
Chris Paul's not playing that great this year.
And you got to live with those turnovers, too, because it's not like these turnovers are born from, like, carelessness 100% of the time. A lot of it is, like, you have to risk it to go for it.
Some of them are...
You got to risk it to go for it. That's Coach Casey.
If you don't buy a ticket, you can't win. Is that what the lottery is?
Wayne Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the turnovers that you don't make.
You mean apple turnovers?
Yes. Yeah. I miss them all the time. I never make apple turnovers.
You know, I think some of them are from his aggressiveness. He had a couple turnovers tonight that were like, basically, they didn't give him the foul and he lost the ball.
Yeah.
He did have one pretty egregious, careless turnover at the end that turned into a Bradley Beal dunk that pretty much sealed the game.
Yeah.
So anyway, what was funny was before it went into overtime, I thought the Rockets may win this game. I thought for sure the Rockets were going to win this game.
Yeah.
Because the Wizards are stupid. they really are. But I thought, even if they win this game, it is a bad sign that you are barely hanging on to beat the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Because the Washington Wizards are one of the worst teams in the league right now.
Well, I mean, you think about the NBA. Any team can beat any team on any night.
Yes.
I'm going to point to one result from the last week. The Milwaukee Bucks played the Phoenix Suns.
Uh-huh.
And they lost by a Jamal Crawford bucket. No, they lost by 2 points. Right? So the Bucks, the best team in the league by rating,
right?
Not by record, but by like offensive and defensive rating. And the Suns, one of the worst teams in the league. And the Suns played with them all night.
Yeah,
right. In this league, you know, every game is a game that can be decided by the players who are playing on the court. Right? Yeah. Whether they're, it's not like there's a, like each game, anything can happen.
Yes.
So I'm not super surprised, right, that two teams with very similar records going into tonight had a close game.
Uh-huh.
But I do agree with you in that Houston's not as good as they should be.
Houston's not as good as the Wizards, clearly.
Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, you saw tonight.
Because the other thing is that they lost to, I believe, the Cavaliers as well.
Yeah.
So and also, I would be worried.
There are, I mean, one of the things that can sometimes happen with teams is that they will play up or down to their
for sure
opponents.
Actually, I think that the Wizards played up to this game because the Wizards are basically like a shit show of people that all want to be traded away and none of them give a shit. However,
how much would all of them love to be traded to Houston?
Yeah. Well, that's actually probably a factor of like playing well in front of Daryl Morey.
Yeah, because the Houston is desperate to make moves.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Harden were very chummy during the game.
Yeah.
And so I think that John Wall specifically probably sees himself as good as James Harden. And in games like this, probably tries to play up to that level.
That's so interesting.
I think he probably gets bored, especially now. He's just like, fuck these other teams. His style of play is so, it feels a little retro, but it's just very like un-team-like.
Yeah.
He's just like, it's been a while since I've seen a player that like can look so good and so bad in like from one play to the next.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the game. The Wizards won that game, amazingly.
135, 133, something like that.
Yeah, and the Rockets lost to the Cavaliers and they lost to the Wizards. I don't know where that puts them. But they obviously need Chris Paul, but like you wouldn't expect them to look this bad without
I mean,
going into the season.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you look at the roster and they're just not as deep as they were.
I know, but over the summer, people were basically downplaying the loss of Ariza and Mbambute.
Yeah.
And were basically saying that they were, you know, I also, separate thought that I had during this game.
Yeah.
We should all stop our podcasts and stop media, close down the websites, There's not a single NBA commentator that thought the Clippers would be good this year.
Yeah, no.
There's not a single one.
You're right. I mean, I put them at as good as the Mavericks. And, I mean, that's been true because
the Mavericks, are good. I think a better record than the Rockets now.
Yeah. yes. I mean, I'm going to say this on our podcast as many times as I can throughout the season. But I did call the Memphis Grizzlies. But that being said, of course I miss the Clippers because I'm biased against the Clippers. I'm just going to say it right here. I'm a person who hates the Clippers because of having to have seen their games in person over the past years I've lived in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. only being able to afford Clippers tickets over Lakers right. tickets.
They're a little bit – the in-game experience is not great, and they're a representation of – not just to Casey, but to everybody, like, you should have done better in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
you should be able to go see the other team, not this team.
Yeah, I mean, every time I go see the Clippers, it's just a constant reminder that I should be more successful than I am.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that also the Wizards have Austin Rivers.
Oh, it's so funny, right?
Who is just like, can I just say this? He's been a point guard, right? Shooting guard?
He's been a wing. Yeah.
He should be a better ball handler than he is.
Yeah, that's why he's a combo guard, is because he can't dribble.
But he gets put in charge of running the offense sometimes.
Yeah, because he's not good enough to not have that be a default duty of his. But that
they,
still
they gave ends him up, the ball to run the offense a couple times. I was like, what is happening?
Oh God, what a mess!
The kind of dribbling that I kind of associate with like Tayshaun Prince.
Okay. Where he's just like
he's angled, kind of carrying it all the way across his body.
Yeah,
he only dribbles like one time for every two dribbles that Kyrie would do. And then they have another like European guy named
Tomas Satoransky.
Yes,
who's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He kind of looks like a guy from the YMCA just walked in.
Yes. Yeah.
But he was at least playing with energy. That's all I will say.
Yeah. Like when Wall was out last year,
yeah,
Satoransky played himself into being in their rotation.
Well, there you go.
Like he played really well. Like I think I picked him up on a fantasy team of mine last year and was like, oh yeah, this guy is performing.
That was the only full game that I caught this week.
I mean, you were on vacation.
Yeah, I was in Palm Springs at Thanksgiving. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving.
Had a big old Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the games on Thanksgiving. I missed...
The reason you didn't see any of the games on Thanksgiving was were no NBA games on Wednesday. And you didn't get a chance to go out and see the Agua Caliente Clippers on Black Friday?
I did not.
Oh, man.
I did go to Agua Caliente.
How was the gambling at Agua Caliente?
Well, did I talk to you about this? No. That in California...
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's... You can only play card games. You're not allowed to play dice games.
Quick... update on California gambling. You can play slots. This is what doesn't make sense. The lady said you're not allowed to have games of pure chance in California.
Yeah.
Except slots. Okay. So you can't play pure roulette and you can't play pure craps.
Correct.
You can only play craps in a way. Do you know how this works?
Yeah. There's six cards,
1 through 6. You roll dice. The dice determine which cards are turned over.
Yes.
So it's exactly the same as if you rolled the dice.
Yeah, it's just a workaround.
Yeah. Then I didn't play craps, actually. I played roulette.
Yeah.
It was the first time in my life I've ever played roulette. I put in $60, came away with
$142. Hey!
And then I lost once, and then I basically was like, I quit gambling forever.
Great, congrats.
Roulette is, they spin a wheel that is holding cards.
Yep.
They're not playing cards, by the way.
They're different. They're different
They're
cards.
Just a card that has... the picture of a number on it.
Yes.
I don't see how this is different than roulette.
It's the thing that's different about it is that it is a different mechanism. And it's literally made to get around laws. Yeah. It's loophole gambling. It's wild. The other thing about California gambling, they're not allowed to run around and give you free drinks for gambling.
Oh.
So that's why you didn't drink a bunch of drinks.
And they couldn't,
like,
comp me to a hotel room or anything?
I don't think they're allowed to do that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, if you want a drink there, you have to go buy your drinks.
Now, my husband,
if you want a water, you can get waters. They'll give you water.
I see. My husband, Eric, does know how to play blackjack. He started with $60 and came away with $190.
Hey, nice. Congrats.
So then we went to buffet at the hotel.
Oh, beautiful. What a thing.
But no, we missed the Clippers. Have there ever been Thanksgiving NBA games?
I don't know about ever, but there's usually Christmas. That's a day they take off.
Okay, there's always Christmas games.
And the reason they take it off is because football has a stranglehold on American televisions and Thanksgiving.
However, something happened this week that showed that even football is influenced by basketball.
Oh, we saw the Markelle Fultz touchdown that's celebration. Right.
I didn't know what to feel about that.
I mean, there is someone who can give you a clue about what to feel about that.
Who?
Markelle Fultz.
Well, how did he feel about it?
He loved it.
Oh, good.
He thought it was hilarious.
Good.
You know why? Because everything about the Markelle Fultz scenario in Philadelphia is fucked up beyond all recognition.
Yes. Now, if you haven't caught up, Markelle Fultz changed his free throw routine.
Yes.
To now kind of like like a cat batting a mouse in the air.
Like a ball being thrown around a roulette wheel.
Yes, but right before he shoots it.
Yes. So, you know how the one rule about shooting a free throw is that it needs to be the same thing every time? Like, yes. Repeatable over and over and over, yes, again? Whatever anyone has ever taught you, like, the most important thing is consistency.
Routine.
And Markelle Fultz has introduced an element that completely throws away the idea of routine and consistency in his free throw form.
He has intentionally added chaos to the moments right before he releases the ball.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
That's right. Markelle Fultz is the Joker of our time.
Here's the problem. Is he hasn't had a chance to test any of this in game recently because he is sitting in the last slot on the bench. He's, yeah, not playing.
And kind of like trade fodder right now.
Yes. Which is the weirdest, saddest thing to happen to a number one draft pick in a long, long time.
Since Olowokandi or something.
I mean, even Michael Olowokandi has been more productive than Markelle Fultz.
Even Greg Oden was more productive.
Even Anthony fucking Bennett was more productive.
Did you say Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis.
Even Anthony Davis, the amazing superstar.
Wait, Anthony Bennett had a better career at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By far.
Ooh.
Like, he wasn't good.
Right. I mean,
Fultz has been an abject disaster of a player.
Bennett and Olowokandi. What pick was Kwame Brown?
Kwame Brown was pick number one.
They're all considered huge, huge busts.
Huge busts. And they're all magnitudes better than what Markelle Fultz has done. And this is the problem, is that he's done enough to feel tantalizing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got other skills. He's the youngest, one of the youngest players to have a triple-double,
mm-hmm,
right? If not the youngest. I can't remember what it was.
He might be the Lonzo was the youngest, and then I think Markelle was.
Right? That's wild.
Yeah.
It is so strange to have somebody who was so talented and was able to shoot a basketball in a way that was not ridiculous, have it completely disappear in this way. It's so strange. It's so weird. And it feels like something that happened to Philadelphia 4 years ago, 5 years ago, right? This feels like right after the Bynum trade when everything was going horribly.
Yeah.
What a strange and bad scenario.
Oh, look at this audio transition, Casey.
Hey,
it's totally seamless, as if I was just continuing the same conversation as before.
Well,
this would be a very weird thing to say.
Yeah, we could make it seamless if we wanted to in post. Just copy the files over to another drive.
Move them.
Move
them.
Copy. Sorry, yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about some of the things we're going to talk about anyway.
Great.
Which is like, if you had a magic, I had a magic wand.
Yeah. I mean, you have a magic wand. I have a magic wand on your desk.
I studied the magic castle. I have a magic wand and I can wave this magic wand to give you full unadulterated access to everything anybody said, did, wrote, texted, emailed in the Mueller investigation.
Okay.
And everything accordant with it, everything Trump related, okay, Manafort and all that. The Philadelphia 76ers from the process until Markelle Fultz leaves.
I'm 100% of the time taking the process.
Yeah.
One, because I'm more interested in that. And two, because we already know everything that happened in the Mueller investigation, right? I mean, it's all out there. Who needs the info that we can't get? You know what?
Now think about it. You could also make an argument. It's probably more important to the country.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. The 76ers. What happens to the 76ers is a statement about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
That's right.
By the way, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, is it intentionally ironic?
Yes, but people don't use it like that anymore. When
right.
it started, it was intentionally
ironic. The original meaning of it is that it's impossible to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah, it was an anachronism, and now it is a...
The irony of it has been lost.
Yes. But so many ironic things have been lost to time.
Yeah. I noticed on the Lakers subreddit today
okay.
that they posted a quote from Markelle Fultz around pre-draft. I don't know if you remember this. He sort of shadily gave a press quote after a workout saying, like, they saw my shot mechanics and they knew that I had a good shot.
Ooh.
Taking a shot at Lonzo, basically.
Wow.
A quote that has not aged well.
No, not at all. Yeah. Holy moly. Because guess who has the worst shot in the league?
Yeah.
It's Joakim Noah whenever he signs something.
is Markelle Fultz just officially on the trade block now?
Yes. How did it come to this?
Yeah.
Very sad. I mean, this is the wildest thing to happen in the NBA in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Just a number one draft pick who was consensus. Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah, it was a consensus, right?
It wasn't like, well, we don't know. But the consensus was, whoever gets one is going to take Fultz.
Right.
Like, if the Lakers got one, they would have taken Fultz that year. That's right. The wild thing.
Lonzo was two.
Lonzo was two.
Who was
Tatum
three?
Was three.
Okay.
Right? So, a draft where there wasn't much, like, pushback. People thought Fultz was going to be the guy for a long time.
Yeah.
They were like, Philly's going crazy. This is amazing. And then he got... cursed by an evil witch?
I don't know.
Like, what could Markelle Fultz have done to have brought this ridiculous curse upon
his house?
Do you
remember there was an early interview where he was like, I only eat, like, Chick-fil-A or something?
That's gotta be it.
Maybe that's what it was.
I mean, I don't eat Chick-fil-A, and...
Neither do I.
And, you know, I know that if you were to eat Chick-fil-A, you would probably be a much worse basketball player because of curses.
Yes, I might be less gay.
Yeah,
by eating up Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdly, I do feel sad for Markelle Fultz.
It's because it's not. None of this is like. It's a sad thing. It doesn't feel like a thing where it's like, oh my god,
like he got his, you know, just whatever.
No, he didn't deserve this.
You know, anything bad that happens to Dwight Howard, I'm happy for. You know,
yeah.
even hoax social media things.
Yes.
Why
didn't Dwight Howard get Manti Te'o'd? Like. There's got to be somebody who catfished Dwight Howard into, like, having a relationship.
Yes.
Like, that's 100% of
Although the Monty Tao stuff is very bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
It's very hard to believe their actual cover story for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that went on with that.
But side development from the Dwight Howard stuff, which I don't think is really worth discussing because it turned out to be fake. Did you see the tonight was by the way, tonight is a different night than when we started this podcast, but tonight was Pride Night at the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes.
And El Farouq Aminu was in the game.
Uh-huh.
And someone on Reddit linked to his tweet histories about gay people.
Ooh,
have you seen any of these?
I did not. Is it bad?
It's really bad. It's like, it's like 30 tweets that are all just like, if I have a gay roommate, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh,
like,
no.
All that kind of stuff. And weirdly, the defenders of Farouq Aminu in the Reddit thread were like, well, he apologized. And they linked to his apology. The apology was, I think someone hacked my Twitter.
That's not an apology.
And also, the tweets are years apart.
Ooh, so, that's so tough.
So anyway, people were excited to see him playing in Pride Night.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Because, like, you never heard anything bad about Al Farouq Aminu.
Yeah.
And now
I did today.
Yeah, you did. We did. Today we did. That's a bummer. And they didn't even lose the game.
They won the game, right?
They did.
Who were they playing?
They were playing the Magic, who have had a very feisty West Coast trip.
Now, you've got a bone to pick with me about the Orlando Magic.
I certainly do. And here's my bone to pick with you is the Lakers are 0-2 against the Magic this year.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that...
They got swept.
The reason for that,
yes,
is because you have been studying magic at the Magic Castle, and that is tantamount to being a traitor. I am 100%.
Well, because I'm lending credibility to the concept of magic, and by that same token, I'm lending credibility to the concept of anything named magic, including the Orlando Magic.
Yeah,
is that the claim?
Yes. It's 100% the claim, and it is a real claim and a good claim, and I'm standing by it.
I mean, some of my tricks that I've been learning at the Magic Castle have been hexes on Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma.
That's okay.
That's standard level one magic stuff.
Is that level one magic stuff?
You learn a classic force.
Okay.
You learn, you know, palming. You learn hexes on second and third year players. Yeah.
Well, okay.
You maybe hex Lonzo Ball's ankle.
Maybe what we could learn is how to hex, like, I don't know, anybody who's not on the Lakers.
Believe me, if I could hex Jamal Murray, he would not be in the Lakers.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just a little diversion. Do you know what a classic force is?
I know what a force is,
right?
I don't know what a classic force
okay,
is.
Okay, this is not exposing. First of all, magicians, like, some of them are so persnickety.
Welcome to Rule of Threes, your magic podcast.
Just so you guys know that there's magic, and like sometimes they want you to take a certain card, right? There's so many ways to do it. There's literally like 100 different ways to do it, and some of them are very clever. But I just learned one. My friend John, who's a magician, showed it to me, and he was like, oh, you don't know the classic force? And I guess this is like one of the first ones you learn. It is literally what you think it is. It's, I've got a card I want you to take, and I say, like, take your finger and just put it on one of the cards. And then I try to literally, like, force the card I want you to be under your finger.
Whoa.
Like, it's not
sleight of hand.
I mean, it's sleight of hand, but it's not, like, it's extremely risky because... And he did it to me 3 times in a row, and it worked. I mean, he's been doing magic for 10 years, so he's an expert. But I was just astounded by the raw, just like that. That is literally
some gumption.
Yeah, that it really does. And he was also saying that it can really fuck up in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it's literally just like your finger is approaching, and I try to get the card under the finger at the same time.
Yeah.
However, I will say when it works. Which it did on me, it was completely fooling because I was like, that is definitely the card I want. Like, I'm touching that card and it happens to be it was.
I mean, that's wild.
Yeah. Can I transition to my next topic? Yes. I don't think I can.
You can.
With that, you know who's classic at forcing shots?
Ooh, yes,
not
I
this
do.
Next guy.
I certainly do.
I actually don't have the stats in front of me, but I just wanted to take this moment to point out that since the article came out about the Cavaliers veterans saying that Colin Sexton could not play basketball, he's playing very well.
Yeah, he's kind of turned it around. And I think I posited on Monday that maybe the article was the kick in the butt that Colin Sexton needed.
Yeah, although I will say that since the article came out, which is like November 4th, he's scoring like 18 points a game, shooting 500 from the field, which is great. And then... In the last 5 games, including like the big win over the Rockets, he's like scoring 21 points a game and shooting like 54% from the field.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if this was the beginning of the season, we'd say small sample size. But since it's the middle of the season.
Five games. Well, it's more just like, and to your point about it being the article that did it, somebody who's able to play 10 games in a row hitting 50% of their shots at a high volume is not a person that doesn't know how to play basketball.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's going to have ups and downs as a rookie, and maybe he's lazy. As we previously mentioned, maybe he's an asshole and they just don't like him.
Yeah.
But you don't, like, not know how to play basketball and then suddenly do know how to play basketball in that way.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't think an article would like. Like, I mean, if we wrote an article about me where Cavalier, like, J.R. Smith said I didn't know how to play basketball.
Then.
Which, by the way, is never going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't think that would turn me into a competent basketball player.
No. It's interesting. Like we're out here talking about what are the motivations behind Colin Sexton's improvement, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, everybody wants to get better. Everybody wants to play better. But I think that with Colin Sexton, it might have just not seemed like that at first. Maybe he like walked in there with a bit of an attitude or like was like, no, I'm good already. And I'm just not shots aren't falling. And, you know, maybe it was something that, like, he needed to realize he wasn't playing well, and he needed to kind of get that kick. And, you know, I want everybody to succeed in the NBA except for Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that he's doing better.
And we're back.
Nice.
This is the third re-record of this fucking thing.
Yeah, it is.
But doesn't it sound better now?
It is Wednesday, July 45th.
2097.
Yeah, we are.
Our overlords have allowed us to go back in time.
Yeah, truly a great day.
You know, we don't even need to talk more about Colin Sexton. It's fine. I think, you know, what's funny is when you go back and like look at some of these things, you're kind of like, I don't need to say this stupid thing I said before.
Well, now we're saying it for all of you people to hear again. We're going to keep the magic going. Rule of Threes, the third recording of this podcast.
The Rule of Threes podcast is basically that we record three sessions for every one podcast. So for you tech people following along, somehow I had set Logic to record from my laptop microphone instead of the fancy fucking microphones I've paid for, which now sound a lot better.
Yeah, and if you can't tell, this is my new sounding voice. I mean, I am amazed.
Well, also the sad thing is if this does not sound better than what you were listening to before,
gross,
then that would be very sad.
It would be pretty sad. But you know what? Hey, we already sunk the money. And by we, I mean you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I was going to say something about the Western Conference, about the league in general.
Yeah.
Does this year feel more uncertain than years previous?
I believe that it is more uncertain. And I think that partially is because of what we talked about last week, where it's closer at the top. But mostly, teams that you expected to be good sometimes are not. And teams that you expected to be bad are better than they were supposed to be. And a lot of this is happening in the West, and there's some of that happening in the East too. But there's only like four or five teams that before the beginning of the season you could say, all right, these teams are going to be bad, and we know it, and they turned out bad.
And we had mentioned this in our previous recording about this, and it in the last 48 hours has not resolved in any way.
No, not at all.
Because this podcast starts with me ranting about the Rockets-Wizards game, right?
Yes.
Well, 48 hours later, the Rockets lost again to the Mavericks.
The Mavericks.
Who are looking fun.
Who are fun. Really fun. Like, I think before we said not good was our Mavericks verdict.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you get a couple of good wins in there. And
I think that there is some three-point shooting stat that they're very high in.
Yeah.
And also, Luka is really fun. I watched some highlights of him today from the Rockets game. I don't know if you saw his two step backs.
I didn't. Were they awesome?
He did a fun step back three on Harden that absolutely would have been a foul call if Harden had done it. And I realized Luka Doncic is like the first kid that you ever saw in organized basketball that wore a t-shirt under his jersey that had the he still looks like a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's also 6'8".
Yeah.
And is good at almost every aspect of basketball already.
Yeah. It is quite a thing to see him play because it feels like he's just got such a handle on the flow of a basketball game.
And
he doesn't,
you know, this makes sense given how much professional experience he has, but he does not have the thing they say about rookies, which is like he's running at full speed and doesn't know how to like slow down for the game. I mean, you know, I don't know what full speed for Luka looks like, but he's fully in control of his game the whole time.
Yes.
Which is pretty scary as a 19-year-old rookie, you know, that he doesn't have a game where he physically dominates you.
Yeah.
So I would say this bodes well.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he doesn't have a game that like, he has a game that will age very well, I believe. And frankly, he has the height to, he has a game that if he was 6 foot tall, he wouldn't be in the league. Like he would be getting blocked all the time.
But yes,
he was pulling up on shots tonight that were just like, that's essentially Dirk unguardable.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's very exciting. Not so exciting for the Rockets, but no. I probably harshed on the Rockets enough in this podcast.
I mean, you know, we're going to do this all season, harsh on the Rockets, but,
I mean, if you want to harsh on somebody, harsh on the Lakers. We don't have to, but they fucking lost to Jamal Murray again.
Oh, God. And they got mollywopped after Lonzo went out.
They did. And LeBron had probably one of his worst games.
Yeah. And then the article comes out today where they're talking
calling
about
his own plays.
He's calling his own plays, ignoring Luke, and then Luke's just refusing to call plays. I don't really care about that either. That's what happens when you have a good player, is you let them call their own plays because they're on the fucking court.
Yeah, the thing that I care about, which I've mentioned before, is I do think the young guys are getting stunted.
Yeah.
By this. There's just really none of the four young guys are flourishing in this environment. And so that's a problem. I don't know what to do. Like, we have LeBron for 4 years, so it's, you would want to keep him. So, but you're not going to get him to play a different style.
Yeah.
That is, there's a lot of ISO going on right now.
Yeah.
In the Lakers offense.
Yes, there is. And it's so wild because our offense is so much better when we, you know, cut and pass, and it's,
yeah.
It's, you know, like when it's free flowing, when it's quick, when we're getting the ball up the court, that's when, like, our guys can, oh man, I'm fully in on, like, the pronouns and the possessive pronouns on our Lakers.
I mean, there might be an aspect to ISO ball being more compatible with, like, a professional lifestyle, because it doesn't require you to all be on the same page.
Yeah.
And you're all adults living separate lives. And do you want to go the extra 10% to become like the Warriors, where you're really flowing and you're in sync with each other in a way that requires like a coachy authority that you probably didn't love starting in AAU?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. You know, I mean, Coach Bud's kind of doing that with the Bucks a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
Look at their offense now. And
I mean, there's no question that a coordinated team-oriented offense is better than ISO.
Yeah.
Like, the test case for it was last year's Rockets, probably.
Yes.
And I mean, but there's just no question for me from a fan's point of view that it's much more fun to watch. I mean, I know it's hard to believe that there's things more fun to watch than James Harden pounding the ball into the ground.
Yeah.
And hooking arms for fouls. But, you know, I think the thing that gives me the most joy watching a basketball game is, for example, a Jeremy Lin no-look pass off a give-and-go to Alex Len that happened tonight. Nice little teamwork pass.
There we go.
That's kind of stuff that gives you hope in humanity. You know, that a Chinese-American kid from California and wherever Alex Len is from can get along on the court.
Where is Alex Len from?
Is he from Canada? Croatia?
I don't know. I think he's, because he was an international player, right?
I'm pretty sure he's not American.
Hmm.
Also, shout out to American Fabiano Caruana, whoever, who just came in second at the World Chess Championship.
Oh, congrats. Lost to the guy.
He lost to Magnus Carlsen.
Yes.
He lost by drawing 10 matches in a row.
Whoa.
10 games in a row.
And then they just flipped the...
Then they flip a coin and they're like... They flip a coin and he comes out and is like, yeah, and we're going to win this game. And then Matt Hasselbeck came in and punched him in the mouth. No. They go to 3 rapid games.
Oh, yeah.
Which Magnus Carlsen is like number 1 in the world and Fabiano is number 8.
Yeah.
And he lost 3-0 and lost the championship.
Bummer.
You know, we were talking about LeBron's leadership of the Lakers.
You know who got called out for not being a leader?
Well, I mean, it must be from a very histrionic coach known for going off on people, unstable.
It wasn't. It was Greg Popovich.
What?
He called out to Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, in today's call-out culture, you know, we got call-out culture
going on. I
hate
that phrase so much.
Hey, man, it's call-out culture.
Call-out culture is just like, hey, this evil shit is happening. Oh, it's just call-out culture.
you know, what Kawhi did was not evil. It was just that he was not a leader for the Spurs, is what Greg Popovich said.
Yeah, and I think we both saw this quote and actually didn't have that much of a problem with it.
We didn't care. I don't really care. I mean, I don't think Kawhi cares. Like, I don't think anybody cares other than the people who
want to. He cared a little bit. Kawhi definitely cared.
Did he care?
Yeah, he said, like, I think it's funny that he would say that.
Oh.
And then he was like, you know, I lead by example.
Okay, all right.
But I think... Okay, part of it is that neither of us cares about the Spurs.
Yeah.
We only care about the Spurs to the extent that they're in the way of the Lakers.
Ooh.
And I like Popovich if he wants to run for president in 2036. If he wants to have Beto be his vice president or whatever.
He's old. He's going to be dead in 2036.
Oh, He's not that old, is he?
That's 16 years from now, and he's 75.
He'll be around.
All right. Well, I'm not voting for a 90-year-old president. Just throwing that out
there. I'm voting for a 9-year-old president.
Yes. Baby president.
So, yeah. Oh, this loophole in the Constitution allows this baby to run for president.
Yeah, when we came back from our year 2097, the overlords didn't let us vote for president. It was wild.
So we don't care about the Spurs, but also, I think even a dedicated Spurs fan would probably admit that, like, Kawhi was not, like, a vocal leader.
No, he wasn't, and it wasn't what he needed to be. He needed to be the best player on that team, and they had other people to be leaders.
The way that some teams, you know, like, draft two point guards in the same draft.
Yeah.
They had plenty of veteran leadership.
So they much. Did not, they didn't, you know, need Kawhi to be the vocal leader on that team.
Yeah. They had a Ricky Rubio of leadership. They had a Johnny Flynn of leadership.
Oh, boy. Con!
So anyway, and I something that just happened today.
Yeah, we got some new news, and if we didn't have tech issues, you wouldn't have had this news.
Yeah, you
until
know
next
what?
Monday.
What I'm realizing from this recording process is we should just continuously record the podcast every single day and never publish.
We're gonna go live. We're gonna go live. We're never publishing.
Which is that Kyle Korver was traded to the Utah Jazz from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm going home.
Second time around?
This is his second time in Utah.
This is sort of what I thought when this Korver thing came up before was, I thought that, what's his name, like, Kobe Altman?
Kobe Altman for the Cavs.
I wouldn't have been surprised if it was just like, he told Korver, we are going to trade you. And it's just like, it takes a little time to figure out where to go.
Yeah.
So he went back to the Jazz. The Jazz sent Alec Burks,
yes.
And I believe two picks.
Two second-round draft picks.
It seems like an okay trade for both teams.
Yeah, I mean,
you want picks if you're the Cavaliers.
Yeah, yes, and Korver's old, so you don't want to give up a ton for him.
And you don't really want him to be good on the team.
Yeah, you want him to be the last resort, or like somebody who can like knock down some threes. You don't want him to be playing 30 minutes. You want him to be playing 20 minutes,
yeah,
and like giving a lift for second units. And
meanwhile, the Jazz can use some shooting.
Yeah.
So, seems good to me.
Yeah, I like the trade. I even like the trade for Cleveland, because it makes them worse in the interim,
mm-hmm,
and it gives them a flyer on Burks, who has had kind of a rough go of it in Utah with injuries. I mean, he was somebody,
yeah,
who had a high pedigree coming out of the draft. I believe he's from Colorado. And he was good, and it just has not panned out so far for him in the league.
If you're the Cavaliers, you want draft picks, and you just want, like, send me all your question mark young players.
Yeah, like, you know, Noah Vonleh is doing really well on the Knicks this year, right? Cavs need players like him.
You know who's not doing well on the Knicks this year?
Let me guess. Kristaps Porzingis.
Frankie Smokes.
Frankie Smokes?
Not playing too well.
Bummer.
And lastly, the thing that I recently heard about was that I don't know where I saw this, that J.R. Smith is being considered traded to the Rockets for something. Did you see that?
Oh, I mean,
I just saw that.
The
right
thing
before
that
I
read was that the Rockets are desperate for anything to shake up their team malaise.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what will shake up a team: playing J.R. Smith a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, sometimes when you shake things, it doesn't go well.
Sometimes when you shake a can,
yeah,
and open it,
yes,
you know, you miss 27 three-pointers in a row.
That's exactly what happens.
The last thing I saw right before I came out here was another workout video from Carmelo. Have you seen that one?
Oh, no.
Looks great.
He looks great.
He's in an LA Fitness, keeping himself in shape.
Great.
Great job.
Oh, boy. I mean, the Melo stuff is sad. I'm bummed out about
Well,
it.
Well, this is the Rockets post Melo are kind of like, you know, good evidence for Melo,
yeah,
that he wasn't the issue.
Yeah.
Which I think is true.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on a team.
Yeah.
He's probably not done.
I don't think so. But
is he a completely free agent now?
No. He is still not released.
Okay.
From the Rockets. He's still on the roster, but they are separated. And as soon as he finds a place he wants to play, the Rockets will release him and let the team claim him or sign him or whatever.
So this is just like waiver wire stuff.
Yeah, he's got to pass through waivers. And since he's on a veteran's minimum contract, any team can claim him on waivers.
Okay.
So he's got to get into an agreement with the team and then make sure that teams that are below that team on the waiver priority are not...
are going to pass.
Or, yeah.
You know what? Just like your fantasy sports league.
Yeah, it's all complicated and bad.
Let's find a home for Carmelo before we go.
Okay. All right, I got it.
Who you got?
The Chinese Basketball League.
No, it has to be a team in the
NBA. It has to be a team in the NBA, and it can't be the G League?
No, but yeah, shout out to the G League tonight.
Shout out to the G League.
Where
South Bay Lakers.
Svi
scoring 28 points.
Yep.
Anyways. Okay.
A tanking team is not going to bother adding him.
No. And a team that's good isn't going to bother adding him.
Well, I think it's a team that thinks by adding him, they can go from...
I got it.
Who?
Detroit.
Oh. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see any team that wants just a little... I'm not going to say offensive boost. You don't get a sustained offensive boost from Carmelo. Right. However, you might get a couple 30-point games.
Yeah.
Randomly. And in the East, that might help you win one playoff game.
And I don't think Dwayne Casey would be afraid to just not play him at all if he is wrecking the team.
Yeah.
So that's my choice, is the Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons. I am going to make a crazy pick, which is I wouldn't be that surprised if the Warriors picked him up.
Wow.
Just as like their...
Because they do have an open spot because Patrick McCaw is not...
well, because they're basically just searching for angles to frame the season around that make it interesting for them.
Yeah.
And Boogie is the current one. And I believe he's going to start practicing soon.
Ooh, yeah. And he's going to come back after Christmas.
So somewhere in March, April... Is there like an end date on waiver wire... Can you go past February?
There is a point in the season where you cannot be on another team's roster. I believe it is the 1st of March is the last day that you can be on another team's roster and then also be on another team's playoffs roster.
I'm pitching Carmelo Anthony for the Glenn Rice Lakers spot.
Okay. All right.
Which is like fun dude on the bench, gives you one 20-point game that you're surprised by.
Yeah.
And then just doesn't generally plays like 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, but like, shouldn't they just get Nick Young back?
Yeah, sure. But I think they kind of like having new guys come in and sort of showing them like, we're where it's at and we can get anyone a championship, even Carmelo. Like that would be pretty great for him to get a ring.
Yeah.
I was watching that Rockets game and thinking about how wonderful it is that only one team gets a ring every year.
Yeah.
Because it means that there's so many NBA assholes that will never get a ring.
Yeah. And they all live on inside the NBA's right side of the screen. They are Charles Barkley.
I mean, they all live inside the Beltway 8 in Houston, Texas, yes. Which is where Chris Paul lives. So, you know, that makes me endearingly happy that he's going to go his career without a ring.
Do you think 43-year-old Chris Paul is going to ring chase?
Well, how old is that? How he is after the end of this contract?
No, he's not going to be 43, but he is going to be like 41.
I mean, have you seen his contract?
It's brutal. It's like $40 million a year.
It's already brutal.
Yeah.
It's 36, 38 this year, and it's in the 40s starting next year. And then he has a player option on like the fourth year for like 46 or something. Which, of course, he will take. I don't see why you wouldn't take that. So if he's 41... Will he ring? I mean, isn't he kind of ring chasing now? Or you're saying ring chasing in a...
As in like taking a 20 minutes off the bench position for the team that won a championship last year.
Maybe. Maybe he'll be on the Warriors.
You know, I mean, their backup point guard position could use some shoring up. So if they want to find a way to get out of that $40 million contract and send him to the war... Oh, God. No, I'm getting sick thinking about that.
You know what? We can end it here. Basically, if you're hearing this, then that means all the tech issues have been solved.
Correct.
Let's pitch some shows.
Yes.
Because we will publish this tonight. It's Wednesday night. I want to say that...
two things.
Tomorrow, Thursday, I'll be in Magic to do at UCB Sunset.
Yeah.
And then Saturday in Chicago, I may be in one of the shows of Baby Wants Candy at Second City.
Ooh, fun.
I'm going over there for the weekend, and we're going to, you know, basically, I might be Carmelo Anthony-ing
Ooh,
that show.
Great. Oh, wow.
Coming in as a veteran, showing the kids how it's done, not doing any useful work, just making everything about myself.
Great. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I got this week.
That's the kind of player you are.
Yeah.
What do you got, Casey? I got a Bitcoin Bitch Fest 4 Saturday night at 8 p.m.
And where's that?
That is at the Clubhouse in Los Angeles on Vermont.
Awesome.
Very excited to put that show on. Got a really good show for everybody. The person who books our shows always puts on a great show. I'm really happy for it.
Cool. So. Other than that, like, let's just pray that I never fuck up a file again.
Hey, we will not ever do it again. We learned from our mistakes.
Cut to 2097. Our robot overlords and our baby president.
Get back to work, Mr. Grace.